If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, you've been watching how desperate the situation has been, as particularly in Gauteng with water issues. It started off in Eckenhof, the most recent. And so we are hearing the Rand Water spokesperson saying, look, we need to be much more, we need to be more careful. There is a warning out there that our reservoirs are very, very low. In fact, dangerously low. Makinosi Marua is Rand Water spokesperson who is on the line with us. Makinosi, thanks again for making time for us. Good evening.
It's always a pleasure.
We believe that there was an emergency meeting called by the CEO. What necessitated this meeting?
You know what, Pimelo, I think we tend to blow things out of proportion. We normally meet every day with the metros from 9 to 10, Monday to Friday. So when we saw that the reservoir levels were dropping, we just extended the meeting to Saturday to discuss the levels in terms of reservoirs.
Okay. And so how bad is the situation? I mean, I can see that, you know, the fact that you are releasing statements, the fact that you are asking us to all cooperate, clearly there is something going on. So just paint the picture for us. How bad are things?
All right. Let me start maybe just to give you background and context. Do you remember that our Eckenhof booster station, which is powered by City Power, experienced a power failure, and we did call City Power. They came in, they assessed, and they did repairs on their infrastructure.
Yes.
From that point, we started having power, and we resumed pumping. However, as I've always said, when we start pumping, it does not mean the reservoirs will fill up immediately. Remember, it took time for us to call City Power. So there was no pumping happening during that time. So it takes time for us to fill up the reservoirs. So with time, we are noticing that the reservoirs are really running low. So we have asked the metros, especially the metros, City of Tshwane, Johannesburg, and City of Ekurhuleni, to really look into how we consume water, because the consumption has gone up high. Because remember, we give them there is a limit for each metro in terms of how much they can utilize per day. So they have exceeded that per day.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to have that meeting to discuss that, now that this is where we are, what do we do? We are doing that so that we don't compromise, and we also promote the integrity of our reservoirs.
Okay.
Hence, we are meeting on a Saturday to say, let's come up with a plan.
And is the plan coming together?
The plan is coming together slowly, I must say. It's coming together slowly because remember, we are experiencing high temperatures. If we have, we're experiencing that, it means the consumption is quite high.
So whatever the plan is, because we're not privy to the plan, do you think it's sustainable?
No, it is sustainable. You know what, our chief operating officer, Mr. Metro, he calls these meetings. We all present from Rainwater and the three metros where we are, what needs to happen to ensure that we really protect our reservoirs. Then we come up with a plan. We were really taken aback when City of Tshwane really communicated what we're doing. This is what we're doing every day. Why is it not coming out every day? It's only coming out today or on Saturday when we had our meeting. There is nothing peculiar. We always have our meeting.
All right. So currently what you're requesting is that, you know, everybody comes on board and uses the water sparingly. I'm not sure that you will get the kind of response that you're hoping for, because by and large, actually, the bigger problem you have are leakages, not necessarily consumption. And I know that temperatures are high and people are consuming more, but leakages are one of your biggest problems.
They are, Pimelo, and often we don't talk about that. people are quick to blame plain water. And I always want to explain, we are a bulk water supply. We can give as much water as we can. But if there are leakages, if there is illegal collections, we are going to lose water. As it stands, as rainwater, we are abstracting more than what we are allowed as per our license. That means we are bending backwards to ensure that municipalities have water. We don't talk about these things every day, but this is where we are. We are abstracting more than we are allowed to abstract because we buy water from the Department of Water and Sanitation. Then we purify that water and supply municipalities.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. The Rainwater spokesperson, Maki Nosimaruo, and we always talk to her and touch base with her. So she's saying, no, that was not quite a special meeting. It was just an extended meeting. That's fine. I do want to bring on to this conversation water expert with the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State, Professor Anthony Turton. Thank you so much for your time. Prof, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Yes, good evening to you, listeners. Thanks for having me.
Prof, I'm not sure whether we are understanding correctly how grave the situation is. Should we be concerned? In your view, how bad is the situation?
Look, I don't want to be alarmist, but I think the situation is very serious indeed. The simple reality is that even with the top production by Rand Water, they are unable to meet the demand of all the consumers in Gauteng. Mm. So therefore, the reservoirs are running dry, and you know, this is we are demanding more than the system can provide. It's as simple as that. There's an imbalance, and it's only a question of time before that system falls over. Mm. So it's very important that everyone, you know, keeps calm and does what is required of them. I think you're very correct in your assumption about leakages. That you know, at least half the water that's pumped into the system is simply lost to leakages. Mm. And it's not just water that leaks, that's also cash that's leaking, that's money that's leaking out. Mm. That's the very money that would be paid for operations and maintenance and upgrades in the future. That's what's flowing down the streets at the moment. So it really is a very grave situation.
So the concern here, Prof, is that when I look at the situation, and you'd have to just maybe guide us on this one, you have a situation where municipalities have got very old infrastructure, these leakages that we're speaking of. Municipalities are not also paying their bills to Rand Water, so there's that problem too. You also have what I'm now seeing as a strategy of switching on and off, which I think also affects the integrity of the entire system. A perfect storm in my view, and to top it all off, you've just mentioned the fact that, you know, there are now more of us. To start an entire new system will take a lot of money, a lot of time. The city planning will take, you know, years to complete. What can be done immediately to sort of get us back on track?
Well, I think everything that you've said there is in fact entirely correct. It is a perfect storm, and it's a confluence of a number of factors. But there's just one thing I would like to raise that most people tend to lose sight of. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about water issues, most people think about the water that they drink or the water that they use to flush the toilets with. Mm-hmm. But that's only a relatively small portion of the water. Water for the economy is far more important. You must appreciate that in Gauteng, we've got three metros, and those three metros are the home to a very significant portion of our manufacturing sector in South Africa. So all the goods that are manufactured in, to a large extent, in those three metros. And those factories that employ hundreds, if not thousands of workers, are all dependent on a steady flow of water. So if that water system starts failing to the point that those factories can no longer operate for whatever reason, then suddenly you've now got a completely different kettle of fish. Now, this is a different animal that you're going to be dealing with, because then you're going to be dealing with people that have to be laid off work, because if the factory has to close for a period of time, then, you know, how can they pay their workers? So you know, we are one step away from taking this thing to the next level. And that is why this is such an important thing. And I say that not to be alarmist. Yes, I just say that to try and to try and just bring some focus into the conversation, that it's not just about the inconvenience mm-hmm. of not having water. It's actually about water to keep the wheels of the economy going, because that's got so many implications. And I mean, just one of those implications is the taxes that are paid by factories to the mm-hmm. government. You know, if those taxes dry up, then there's all kinds of other issues that happen as well. So it's a very, very complicated animal we're dealing with here.
This new strategy that we're seeing, and some don't want to speak about it too much, others saying, no, it's there. Others are saying, no, it's not there. But I think something's going on there. That throttling system that we are now hearing of, is this the way to go?
Well, you know, firstly, I think that we must welcome it if there is a strategy. But then what we need to have is honest and frank communication. I mean, let us be honest between ourselves at the moment now. I think we can safely say that there is a trust deficit in society. Mm. Since the COVID thing, the level of trust in society is not what it used to be. So government is generally not exactly the most trusted partner in all of this stuff. So if we haven't got communication that is transparent, that is credible, that is honest, then you're not going to get public buy-in. And you know, this is what I think we really need to insist on, that because we do need a plan. The plan must be viable, but people must support the plan. And how can they support the plan if they don't know what it is?
And you would have to tell us, as someone who understands in engineering, others are saying that the idea of switching on and off, and it makes sense to me, because every time a city power has a problem and it affects the water, we are told by both Rand Water and the city's water systems that it does impact on how water now begins and stops. That's what we are told. We are told about airlocks and so on. But they themselves are now employing the same strategy, switching off and on again. Just from an engineering point of view, is this going to work?
You know, what has impressed me lately, and I'm not saying this to be patronizing at all, but what has impressed me in the last recent period of time that I've been dealing with journalists is the fact that they really are starting to get the story. They're starting to understand it. So the way you frame that question, and you fully understand it, pressure systems are designed to be under pressure. And they're not designed to be pulsed. They're not designed to have pressure and then no pressure. Because a whole lot of things happen, you know, when you alter the pressure regime under which the pipe system operates. So in my professional opinion, once the minister announced this thing of water shifting, that was in effect an admission that the system had failed. Because if the system hadn't failed, then you would still be able to get water to all parts of the system, and you know, that means it would still be functioning in a reduced state, but it would still be functioning. So the system has failed already, and now when we start turning it on and off and we're shifting it around, all we're really doing is we're moving the deck chairs around the Titanic, but the Titanic is not in a happy place. The Titanic is taking on water. Mm. So we've got to be very careful about that, because what happens now from an engineering perspective is that all sorts of things start occurring within the piping system. The first is you get air in the system, as you correctly said. And what that air does now is, as the pressure comes back online, it goes hammering through the system. And as it hammers through the system, what people don't realize is inside pipes, you get a thing called biofilm. So that's like a biological, it's a bacterial film that grows inside the pipes. Now you get this water hammer that's running around through the system, and you start knocking off all of that biofilm. You start dislodging it. That's the first thing that happens. Then the second thing that happens is that each time one of these bubbles goes around a corner, and there are lots of corners in the system, it's almost like you're taking a hammer to the system and you're beating it. That's what they refer to as water hammer. And water hammer literally starts shaking the system apart. Then the third thing that happens is that we can safely say that our pipe system has got probably thousands, if not tens of thousands of leaks in it. And most of those leaks have been repaired by means of a patch. So what they do is they simply put a piece of rubber. Think of a piece of rubber from an inner tube of a car tire or something
like that.
Maybe it's a bit more sophisticated than that, but they put a patch of rubber on the pipe, and then they strap it down with the metal strap, and they squeeze the metal strap to force the rubber up against the leak. Now, that's fine while you've got pressure on the system. But when the pressure comes off the system, that thing starts falling apart, and you start getting a little bit of sand, a little stones, little bits of pebble start ingressing into that patch. And when you repressurize the system, that patch starts leaking again now. So every time you change the pressure regime, you fundamentally alter the overall operating status of the system. But more importantly, you loosen up the joints, and you are in all probability going to get more leaks after each time that you turn the pressure back on again.
Gosh.
So we are accelerating the rate of failure by doing this. So in other words, looking at it from a different perspective, I personally question the wisdom of this water shifting policy, because all that that's doing now is it is actually inducing damage in the system at an accelerated rate.
So well explained. I really appreciate it. We're not going to be alarmists. We're not going to worry, but I think there is something there to worry about. Thank you very much, Professor Anthony Turton, water expert with the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State. That's Dr. Anthony Turton there.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.